In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, for more on all of this, including a 9-2 team, well-primed for the postseason and a run potentially to February, let's talk to the Ditty. Ray Dittinger joins us every single Monday at this time. He's brought to us by Verizon. Phones were not made to be broken, but life, it happens. So when your phone breaks, Verizon's got you. Trade in any phone at your local Verizon store in any condition guaranteed and get a great deal on one of their best 5G phones with unlimited ultimate, the Ditty, Ray Dittinger. Ray Ditty, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
How about some of those names, Ray? I mean, OJ, you know, Walter Payton, of course, held the single game record for a while, for a long time. Can you put into words this Saquon thing? I mean, you've seen a lot. Can you put into words what you're seeing, what we're seeing?
I thought the Merle and Mike did a pretty good job.
Very good job.
Yeah. Pretty good job putting into words last night in real time. It's historic. It's historic, and you know it's fun when you're watching it because you know you're watching history. You know you're watching something that's out of the ordinary, and you know you go back to the spring when the signing was announced, and that the Eagles have added. First of all, the Giants have let Saquon Barkley leave, and the Eagles are the team that have signed him, and the reaction around the city, the level of excitement. There was a mixed jury about people wondering, asking, how much does this guy have left, realistically, 27, a lot of wear and tear, et cetera, et cetera. But I remember looking at it from the other side and recognizing, having seen him play in college and recognizing the unique athlete that he is. And then, and just in my own mind, just juxtaposing that and putting him in the Eagles offense. You know, take him away from the mess that he was surrounded by in New York, and juxtapose that, a player like that with that kind of ability and that kind of desire, and now on top of that, something to prove, coming to a team with this kind of offense, running behind this kind of offensive line. I mean, I thought that he would be terrific. I thought he would be a difference maker day one. And he's been all of that, but did I think at this point, you know, Thanksgiving week, we'd be talking about him blowing past Eric Dickerson and Walter Payton and those guys? No, probably not, but damn, it is fun to watch.
Yep. Sustainable? I believe it is, Ray. I think the only thing that holds him back is potentially worry about his health.
Right.
How concerned should the play caller and Nick Sirianni be with the historical stuff? You know, the responsibility as a play caller to give Saquon the opportunity to be the, you know, all-time rushing leader, that sort of thing. How do you weigh that, Ray?
Right, and that's exactly that's kind of what I was thinking last night as I was watching what we were all watching. And then, you know, what Joe was just saying, just a couple of minutes ago before I came on, listening to him talk about all the stuff that's out there now, the records that are out there that are absolutely within his reach. Setting records, you know, that have never been touched before by the greatest running backs in history. That's all attainable. It really is. But the question is that worth it? You know, Could he break those records? Yeah, he sure could. He's absolutely on pace to do it, but I mean, it's going to kind of be up to the coaches yeah. to decide how they're going to go about it. I mean, there are a lot of games coming up now, and what's left, where if you're comfortably ahead in the third quarter, you can keep them out there and you can keep them piling up the yards if you want to. You know, but you know, you're not trying to win the Heisman Trophy this year. You know, the idea is to try and win the Super Bowl. So, and I think his nature, it seems to me, and we've already seen evidence of it this year, when there was a game that the Eagles had in hand, and the coaches and Sirianni went to him and said, "Hey, you're this close to a career high. Do you want to?" And let the other guys play. You know, this kind of stuff, the records, they don't mean that much to Barkley. They really don't. I mean, they really don't. I mean, he's enjoying it certainly, but he wants to win. I mean, he wants to win a Super Bowl. And I think that's going to be more important to him than any records. Not every player would feel that way. I mean, a lot of players, if they were on this kind of pace and they had the opportunity to make this kind of history, they'd want to go for it.
Right.
But I think if it's put to him, and there probably will be in the games that remain, a lot of games that by the third quarter, certainly by the fourth quarter, that they're going to be well in hand. Opportunities for him to pile up a lot of numbers, and the coaches will probably ask him, and he'll probably say no. No,
yeah.
I think, you know what, I think that the trajectory that this team's on right now and the way that they're playing and the way they seem to be getting stronger by the week compared to where they were a year ago at this time is all the good reason to say, now, you know, records are great, they absolutely are, and who knows, maybe they will happen, but that's not what we're pursuing. We're pursuing something bigger.
Hey, Ray, and by the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio, and the Diddy with us right now. Seth Joyner will be with us in the 9 o'clock hour in studio for an hour. Ray, obviously Saquon was number one last night. What for you was number two for most impressive? I think there's like 5 or 10 other things that could be an answer here. What grabbed your attention the most in an impressive fashion by the Birds last night?
You're right. I mean, there's so many. We could talk till 11 o'clock this morning with a list. They were really good. And listen, the Rams are no clowns. You know, I mean, the Rams are probably going to be a playoff team. They have this pattern now under McVay that always starts slow and then they come on. And they had been coming on. They had won 4 of 5 and they were playing well. And to the start of the game, they came to play. I mean, you could see that they came to play last night, and the Eagles just beat them down. I mean, that was just a total beatdown by the second half. But the Eagles can do that to people. So there was a lot of good stuff to point to. But if you're asking me what was number one, what came right behind Barkley, it was Brandon Graham. How many big play? How many big plays he made in that game, and how good he looked. You know, I mean, that was, and I felt really good for him. And I was thinking, man, this is really something. At his age, in his last year, that he's coming on and he's playing this way. Wow. And then comes. What's the only downer to come out of this game is the fact that he suffers this injury that probably ends his season. And it's really sad, because last night was a game that, I mean, it was very reminiscent of younger Brandon Graham. I mean, he just turned back the clock last night, and he was all over the field. And to lose him now with the way things are going, I mean, it's a shame for him, obviously, because this team has a chance to do big things. But, I mean, the team is going to miss him, because the one area we said right before the trade deadline, when I was on with you guys and you're saying, okay, trade deadline's coming up, is there anything, if you were the Eagles, things are going pretty good right now, but would you be looking for anything? And I said an edge rusher, you know, and I don't know if they're going to do it. I don't know what the price would be, but, yeah, I mean, that's what I'd be looking for. And now here we are a couple weeks later, trade deadline's passed, and the one area that you might have been a little thin, you lose a guy who's playing better than anybody.
So what happens next, Ray? It is amazing to me to watch Jalen Carter as a one-man wrecking crew in the middle. The consistency with which he is double-teamed.
He really picked it up. He really has.
And sometimes when a guy gets double-teamed, he quits. You know, I've seen a lot of big-name guys like take some plays off here and there when they get double-teamed. I don't think I've seen much of that at all from Jalen Carter. Like, he is so ferocious, even while taking two guys, sometimes three guys on. It's opening it up for everyone else. But Ray, we ran out of everyone else almost. How does this get done? Is Moro Ojomo even, like, I don't know anything about him. Well, can he get this done for us?
Ray, and also I think what we're getting at here is, do you trust Nolan Smith in a moment like this? Do you trust Jalix Hunt in a moment like
these
this?
Young
to have to replace Brandon Graham. I mean, who do you lean on if you're Vic Fangio?
I like Ojomo. He was actually one of my sleepers coming out in the draft last year out of Texas. But he's really an inside player. I mean, you're not going to be playing him out on the edge. He's a natural inside player. I mean, you're going to have to ask more of Nolan Smith, who's been playing well this year. But he'll be asked to do more. Jalix Hunt is a possibility. I mean, he's been getting more snaps. It was at the expense of Bryce Huff there for a while. I mean, they were actually using Hunt more, but he'll get more opportunities now. Bryce Huff, they said, even though he underwent the wrist surgery, they were talking about him possibly coming back for the playoffs, so you could get him back. The name to keep in mind is Taron Jackson. I think that right now he's on the practice squad, and he's a guy they drafted sixth rounder out of Coastal Carolina a couple years ago.
Yep.
And we've seen him play in the preseason, and actually I thought he looked pretty good. Now, he hasn't had any opportunities, he hasn't been activated I can think of this year, but I'd be willing to bet you that he's going to be activated now, and he's probably going to get some opportunities to play. They're going to have to find another answer there, because they're certainly going to miss Brandon Graham. But you know, the way the defense is playing right now, and the way Vic Fangio seems to be pushing all the right buttons, I mean, he'll figure something out. But there's definitely going to be more responsibility placed on the shoulders of some of your young players, starting with Smith, and then Hunt will also get his chances.
Hey, Ray, tell me if this. I don't know if this is an analogy, but if this makes sense. 2022, Eagles and San Fran on a collision course, NFC Championship game. 2024, Eagles and Lions on a collision course, NFC Championship game. Does that vibe with you? It just feels that's a
no
showdown,
question.
Right? Yep.
No question. I mean,
Where's that getting played?
Yeah, right? I mean, that's been it now for a couple of weeks. You look around the rest of the NFC, there's really nobody on their level. I mean, they're in a category unto themselves right now. I mean, the Packers are coming on, you know, and they're playing good football, and they'll be in the postseason. They'll be playing into January. But would I match those teams up with the Eagles? Eagles or the Lions? No, I don't think so. It's the Eagles and the Lions. I mean, you can really see it coming, and that's why. The remainder of this season is really important for the Eagles, and that's why winning a game like last night, which I thought was going into it, I mean, it was a 2.5 to 3 point line before the kickoff, which means people thought it was going to be a pretty close game. Turned out not to be, but a close game. It's really important that the Eagles keep winning, because you look down the road and look. I know the Eagles are a good road team. I mean, they've demonstrated that on many occasions this year. Demonstrated it again last night. They are really good on the road, but the number one seed in this conference this year is so big. It's really so big, and it's going. I'm barring some kind of a huge surprise. It's going to come down to Eagles Lions in the final, and boy, home field's going to mean a lot in that game.
It's going to be fun, Ray, on Thanksgiving to watch the Lions. I mean, I don't feel like we have ever. Of all these years we've watched the Lions, sat there on a Thanksgiving day and watched them to assess them versus the Eagles for a conference title game. I mean, last year you kind of were aware a little bit, but this is a different deal. I mean, we're going to sit there on Thursday and really assess, the whole city is, what the Detroit Lions have for the first time ever.
I mean, Joe, no question. No question. I mean, the Lions have been so bad for so long that there was real discussion among the league higher-ups and the network television people having serious discussion saying, look, I know Detroit has always been the early game on Thanksgiving, like forever, but, you know, come on.
Right.
I mean, really? Do we really need to have Detroit as the early game on Thanksgiving? I mean, can't we? You know, there are traditions, but sometimes traditions run their course.
Sure do.
But now, I mean, nobody's having that conversation now.
That's right.
Everybody's talking about the Lions. But here's the thing, Joe. I really feel like even though the Eagles were a really good road team, the way the Eagles are built, the way they play, and the way the Lions play, if that comes down to those two teams in a championship game, and right now I don't see anything other than those two teams. You want to be playing that game in South Philadelphia at the end of January.
I totally agree.
You could maybe go into that dome and beat them. You could, the way the Eagles are playing right now. But the way the Eagles are built, the way they run the ball, as strong as they are across both lines, you give me a nice 15-degree day with 30-mile-an-hour winds in South Philadelphia, and that definitely favors the Eagles.
I don't care how tough they are. Like, cold is a different toughness. It's a different way of steeling yourself for a game. And sometimes the toughest guys, they can't handle it. They're wusses when the temperature goes down.
I hear you. Hey, Ray, final thing. So you reference traditions that come and go sometimes, and then there's traditions that are going to always be around, like Tommy and Me. I hear that Tommy and Me is back, Ray. Tell the audience how they can see the remarkable play that you created and this great story of Tommy McDonald and you and this whole deal.
Yeah, Tommy and Me, I'm delighted to say Tommy and Me is coming back. It's coming to a new theater, the People's Light Theater out in Malvern, which is a great theater. And it will be there pretty much the whole month of January. We open January the 6th, January the 7th, I'm sorry, and run through January the 26th. And tickets are on sale at People's Light. Just go to their website and you can order them now. They make great Christmas gifts. I'd also remind folks that Joe Conklin, Glenn Macnow, and I will once again be doing our Greatest Moments of Philadelphia Sports Show, and this time at the Players Club of Swarthmore on December 13th.
Nice.
So if you want to come out and see that, and who knows? I mean, we've already done it a couple times, but after last night, we may have to consider adding Saquon Barkley might be bumping the Broad Street Bullies out of the top 10.
I love it.
We might have to consider that, but that's December 13th at Swarthmore if you want to come out and get the Greatest Moments of Philly Sports. And then in January, Tommy and Me coming to People's Light. I hope you can all make it
out. Good stuff. Hey, Ray, to you and your family, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thanks for being a massive part of our program every Monday, and we look forward to talking next week. Thank you, Ray.
Love it. Take care, guys.
Thanks,
Happy Thanksgiving.
Ray.
To you as well.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, there he is, the Diddy.